Blog Talk Radio.
As the tears are falling from my face, with all my fears I long for your embrace. How am I gonna carry on and be the one you lead it on when I'm falling down? Now the tears are falling from your face. I never learned from all of my mistakes. How we gonna carry on? Can anybody be this strong when we're falling down right now?
Welcome to another episode of Continue Mission. I'm your host, James McCormick. We have Father Michael Pacella, and we have Richard Kilblain, the U.S. Army historian, with us. So we are going to have a couple of topics that we want to talk about. The first topic that we're going to talk about involves energy, the energy crisis that's going on, and the recent sabotage of the Nord Stream pipelines that are supplying the natural gas from the Soviet Union. Look at me, I'm dating myself. The Russian Federation to Europe. And essentially that's been kind of shut down here with this explosive device that was used to blow these lines up. And what this could potentially mean for Europe is a very long, cold and hard winter. Now, there are a lot of environmentalists out there that are saying, well, now's the time to go totally green. And I'm going to tell you, that's dangerous talk, because green energy, whether you like it or not, is unreliable at best. You know, we have solar lighting, we have, you know, wind around here as well. And I can tell you, in the wintertime, solar lighting is very, very poor. You know, I mean, I'm talking about even the lighting that we use around our house. I have solar lights, and they do not function properly. I also have some more high-end solar devices that are good in the summertime. But in the wintertime, whenever you get about, you know, 65% of your day is overcast, then you're not getting much light out of that thing. And it's, you know, we're not even talking about the solar energy that's being used to be stored in batteries and utilized to power things like, you know, central air units. Heating is going to be very, very critical in the winter times in Europe. If you've never wintered through in Germany, like I'm sure that, that all of us on this call right now have, then you don't truly understand. So there's some green energy advocates, and one of them actually works with a liberal veterans organization, and I'm not going to even say their name because I don't want to give them any mileage on that, but he was a Navy corpsman. The gentleman has no college degree, but he was a corpsman, served his country for 6 years in the Navy, and worked as a corpsman and worked with the Marine Corps. I think he did 1 year in Iraq. But, you know, he doesn't have a degree in, he doesn't have an engineering degree. He doesn't have a petroleum experience. And I don't know that he's ever even worked in the industry. But they have this guy as their center focal talking head for this organization. And they are the loudest group that's screaming, nope, don't build any pipelines. Don't supply any natural gas to Europe. Force green energy, and that's the exact terminology that they're using. And when I hear that kind of talk, I equate it to, you know, people on a sinking ship and telling people to jump overboard and learn how to swim instead of simply lowering them down in life rafts. The fact remains is that we are 30 years plus from being able to have reliable, functional green energy resources to the level that they're wanting to have them at, or that we would need to have them at in order to get a country like Germany, you know, through a brutal winter. And I'm just afraid that the kind of discussion and the talking points that these are pushing on with this liberal agenda, they're going to bury a lot of really sweet European folks over there, and I just, you know, because they're going to freeze to death in the winter. So anyways, I got Rich Kilblain on here. He's done some research on this Nordstrom pipeline. Rich, tell us a little bit about
you're assuming more than I did. I didn't do any research on it. I just read the articles. That's all. What do you want to know about it?
All right. Tell me what you got on it so far. Give us a
Keep in mind, there's two pipelines. One was not completed, Nord Stream 2. That's the one that Biden pushed to shut down. And then, the first Nord Stream pipeline was providing natural gas. And there was a detonation. It's recorded. There was a underwater detonation, and then that thing sprung a leak. And so they know it's sabotage, and they suspect Russia's behind it. And NATO is planning to take appropriate action, okay? So that's it. I mean, there's a pipeline. They're pumping in gas, natural gas, and now it's shut down. Okay, they suspect that keep, you know, you're right on track with Germany in particular is very susceptible to these cold winters, and they've already had their energy crises began 2 years ago. You know, everybody's trying to blame it on the war with Russia, but no, this began 2 years ago. In 2011, Merkel came up with a plan to shut down all their nuclear plants, and that was because of that nuclear plant that in Japan that had a meltdown.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was because of a tidal wave, all right, earthquake and tidal wave. Well, anyway, so they decided to go off due to the pressure from – now, keep in mind, you're talking that, you know, no carbon emission. I mean, the lowest carbon emission is nuclear power, and yet the green peace fanatics are completely against nuclear energy. And so they pressed Merkel to shut down those plants. They had 17, and there's just three open, and they're going to be shut down in a year or two. Okay. And the problem is, like you said, pushing them off the ship instead of lowering them down. You know, it's like there was no analysis on this. They didn't look at it and say, let me see, okay, this provides this much electricity. So as we shut this nuclear power plant down, we're going to have to replace it with this much, you know, renewable energy, solar and wind, and they didn't do it, okay? So that made them more reliant on fossil fuels. Now think about this. So the whole purpose, you know, of the environmentalists is to get us off of, you know, carbon dioxide producing energy, and yet they shut down something that has a very small carbon footprint, and yet by shutting those down made Germany more dependent on fossil fuels, and and it turned out, this is what I did find out, is Europe has fossil fuels underground if they would frack, but they've banned fracking. So they're entirely dependent on Russia, Saudi Arabia, and any other country that could be hostile to them. And this whole thing started falling apart 2 years ago, and they had some bad winters, and now there's a war. I mean, you couldn't pick a worse time to have a war. And so what we suspect is why, see, Putin needs that money, right? But he's got other pipelines and he can probably jack up the price on those. But just as you said, you know, he's shut down this pipeline, this source of energy right before the winter. Okay, and so he's going to make them pay. I think that's you know, the reason he did it. Okay, because he needs the money, but he's also desperate. Anyway, that's my take.
What do you think,
but
Father
again,
Michael?
You know, neither of us. Now you're criticizing that Navy corpsman. We're not educated in this either.
Hold on a second. I ran Vets for Energy for 10 years, man. I'm very well educated in the energy industry. And yes, I do understand. Yes, absolutely. I understand the need for fuel. And we all understand the basic need of infrastructure support as it relates to coal, oil, and natural gas.
Right.
And I can tell you.
And so, I mean, but we're not scientists. We're not the engineers. We're not the chemists that have, you know, gone. We have done is read, okay? And that Navy corpsman has probably done his reading too. But
it, well, the difference is that I worked 10 years in the industry, literally working in the industry with through the American Petroleum Institute. So I'm fully, and it's not a chain of
James. I grew up in Ponca City, Oklahoma, and then lived there after the Army. I know oil, okay, but I don't know the rest of it. I am familiar with fracking, okay, yes, but I'm not an expert on it, okay, just because I grew up, Continental Oil Company's headquarters is in my hometown, and it was. They've now moved their headquarters to Texas, when they merged with Phillips, they also moved their research. And I'm trying to think of they do a lot of experimenting because they came up with carbon fibers, right? And they sold that patent off, but they moved all that down to Bartlesville. So all that's left in my hometown is just the refinery. Everybody I knew was my stepdad. Everybody else worked for Conoco, but that does not make me an expert, right?
Well, no,
I'm familiar with it. Yeah,
but the reasoning for this,
basically what I'm saying is I can't criticize someone else who's not an expert, okay?
Well,
who may have read as much as I have.
Well, it's their reasoning is based on this global warming.
Now you're nailing it. Now you're nailing it.
Yeah.
You're attacking his credibility. No, he may be very well read. But now when we get into the reasoning behind it, now that's where the logic falls apart. Yes.
Yeah, and that's the problem that I have is it's like, and they are so hell-bent on getting it their way. I don't think they understand what that means. And maybe, and God forgive me for this, but maybe giving them a year of it, then a year after they freeze through a few winters and they sweat through a summer.
Well,
I would
see that
say they'd be ready to change.
I mean, California, that's the experiment. I'm saying, the thing I love about, the United States, there's 50 states. And our Constitution is written to allow the states to pretty much govern themselves. We don't need the federal government telling us how to do business. It usually messes things up. So I'm like, California, go for it. Go green. Go green by 2035. Great.
Yeah.
Let's see if it succeeds, okay? If it fails, all right, we still have 49 states, okay? Let's see how that experiment goes. We already know in California they have, before they've gone green, they have power blackouts. They have had to ration electricity, and they want to go all electronic, EVs, electric vehicles, by 2035. Come on. You can't provide enough power with the fossil fuels you have in order to just supply, especially during these heat waves, these droughts, just to keep the air conditioners going. Now they're telling people in California, turn your 78%, something like that. I mean, ridiculous. Okay.
Yeah, it's crazy.
The thing is, it's all time. It's just this time driven versus event driven. Okay, it's like the pullout from Vietnam or the pullout from Afghanistan. We're saying, okay, we want to have this number down by this time, this number, and we pick these artificial dates. And the thing is, we can't do that. We physically can't do that, all right? And you're not even paying attention to, what's going on the ground. In other words, we say when we get control of this area here, we can now turn it over to the Afghan National Army. okay? And then, you know, that's an event-driven withdrawal. So in the case of energy, it should be is Germany should say, okay, if we're going to shut down this nuclear plant, then we have to be able to provide this much renewable energy, okay? So when we are able to produce that much, then we can shut down this plant. And then when we produce enough electricity, we can shut down this plant. That's how it's supposed to do. But they're artificially going, no, we're going to shut down this many by this type, this many. And now you create a you're dependent on foreign fuel, okay? And Biden did the same thing in this country. We, up until Biden was the president, until he took over, we were not only energy independent, but we were exporting, okay? And now he's tapped into the National Petroleum Reserves and depleted so much of it that we're now in danger. If we have a very bad winter and there's any disruption in our own production or the importing of fossil fuels, we may not be able to find enough in the the National Petroleum Reserves was designed for emergencies, not self-inflicted wounds like, hey, we're not going to produce gas, or we're not going to frack, or we're going to restrict new drilling and things like that. All the policies.
Well,
this is one thing I can speak about is so when Biden goes out there and says, all right, start producing more, our refinery, first of all, because, you know, the oil industry knows that, well, you know, we got to get off fossil fuels and, you know, the government is hostile to them. They're not investing in their own infrastructure. So it creeps, you know, like it should. All right. So there's no investment in it. There's no investment in improving these refineries. And so that we're just shooting ourselves in the foot. You know, when we're in this situation where all of a sudden we have war that jacks up the prices and, well, you just can't say produce more because you don't have that capability, right?
Yeah. You know, here's the thing that really doesn't make sense to me. I mean, here's an opportunity to, number one, we got to face reality. The facts are the world is not ready for green energy. It's not ready. And it's going to be years. And I'm telling you,
I would reword it. And it's not that the world is not ready. No, it's ready. It's just the renewable energy is not capable of beating the world's demand. The needs, I should say. The world needs. Anybody's even done a study to say, let's look at L.A. and say, how much energy does L.A. consume at its peak, you know, in the summer or the winter?
Right.
Well, they have mild winter, so we're talking the summers. So what is the, you know, how much, you know, electricity do they consume during this time frame? Okay. How many solar farms, how many windmills are we going to need just to provide, you know, the required amount of energy for the L.A. area, okay? I don't know if anyone's done that study. You know, it's possible that, I mean, when you look at Southern California, you'd probably have to place, you know, and this is just me guessing, like all available land under solar panels, okay? Tell me that's not an ecological nightmare, okay? Because you're destroying habitats, okay?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm of the opinion that America should be laying pipe, mining coal, and drilling.
Right.
For oil, full throttle, man. I'm just telling you right now. I mean,
right.
We have an opportunity to where we could be totally energy independent in a very short period of time.
We were.
And let me tell you something. And a lot of people blame, you know, hammer on Obama, but it was during the Obama administration, whether some of these folks want to hear it or not, that we laid the groundwork for that energy independence. I'm just telling you, it was mm-hmm. on the way. It was on the way. Now, they were difficult to work with.
Yeah, see, the thing is, you're right. This whole concept of fracking began long before Trump.
Yeah,
what we
did.
Can give Trump credit for is just basically turning them loose, getting rid of the red tape, okay? Drill, baby, drill. I mean, I think that was the motto during the Trump administration. Okay.
Well, that actually started with the lady in Alaska that ran for vice president.
Sarah Palin,
and she made that comment when her and the center that just
McCain.
Died, John McCain were running.
John
there
McCain, right.
And she kind of coined that term, and then, you know, 2010, we started Vets for Energy, okay? That started in 2010. By 2018, we were told victory was declared. So within 8 years, we had declared victory and had fully achieved in the Trump administration. We never fully achieved energy independence during the Obama administration, but we were close.
Yeah, we're making progress.
2018,
right.
We absolutely ruled the world with energy, coal, natural gas,
right.
And oil, and we became a net exporter of energy. And it's like all of a sudden Joe Biden gets in. Now, Joe Biden is a friend of coal. He's a friend of gas, and he's a friend of oil, but just not American. I'm just telling you that right now. You know, he loves the Chinese. He loves the Russians.
Yes.
You know, and his son, Hunter, has deep, deep ties, and they have made billions through these deals. And that's not a QAnon hoax, man. That's just facts. I mean, all you got to do is just peel the onion back a little bit and you can see, you know. But they weren't making that kind of money when America was energy independent. Who was making the money? The American people, the workers. Thousands. Rich, we worked from 2013 to 2016 on the American Petroleum Institute's Hire a Veteran campaign. We literally saw over 40,000 veterans get jobs because of that effort. And do you know how many of them lost their jobs after Biden got in office? About half, and probably more than that now because I'm not tracking it right now. But
yeah, but
at least
they were all supposed to find jobs in the green energy.
Yeah.
That was the promise, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, just retrain them, retool them. Okay.
Yeah. Now they're not. Well, I'll just tell you, it's not happened. Most of them are still unemployed because it was a beautiful thing because the energy companies were hiring them direct. So all of those petroleum specialists that the Army had, you could go land a job, $65,000 a year. Working for a major oil company just because you had experience at handling petroleum.
Mm-hmm.
Now the jobs aren't there. And veterans and their families lost their jobs. So it's not just Americans. I mean, the veterans are a small portion of what suffered. What really suffered was the overall American population. And you see it now every time you go to pump gas. So,
mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah, well, wait buck till winter comes in.
Hmm.
You know, every time you have a major cold spell, people die, in particular elderly. Whenever you have a major heat spell, people die. and in particular, the elderly. So we've just set ourselves up for, more deaths.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. You are right. And I don't think that there's any disagreement with any of us. I just think that, I'm a little more vicious towards the veterans that are speaking out, supporting these leftist agendas that they know is going to fail.
Well, and here, let's look at this. Okay, climate change is a fact. What is not a fact is what causes it, right? No one knows. They think they know. They believe it's a result of man's activity. But the evidence, there's a lot of evidence out there, especially the Antarctic ice core samples that will show you four nearly identical 100,000-year climate change cycles. All right, they're almost identical, going back 400,000 years ago, that study that I read says that the increase, we know that, here's the fact, we know that when the temperature goes up, we know that CO2 and temperature increase about the same rate. What we don't know is which causes the other, okay? And so, global warming with Al Gore, yeah, the head priest, they believe that it's all man-made, all right? But that ice core sample shows is that there's a lag between the increase in CO2 versus the temperature. In other words, it looks like the increase in temperature causes that. And then we're talking man had very small footprint, if he had any kind of footprint at all, all right, during this time frame. And so it has nothing to do with man-made. So the fact is, climate's going to keep increasing. Temperature's going to go up. Then it's going to be a correction, and it will drop. And then we're going to face, another ice age. But we're trying to destroy our economy for something we can't stop. Now that we have people saying, okay, we're admitting it, climate change is for real. Okay, we're going to have harder winters. We're going to have worse summers. Okay, so let's kill our power grid. Let's get off of, let's not build any nuclear plants. Thank God I live where I live, because we have one. Okay, and let's get off fossil fuels now we're like California and you have these power blackouts, but now that the weather's going to be more extreme, you're going to have more deaths. Right. What we really need to do is to be able to adapt to these extreme, weather patterns is we're going to have to produce more electricity. Yeah. If you're going to have hotter summers, you're going to need to run your air conditioners more. Okay. You're going to have colder winters. You're going to need to heat your houses more. Okay. That makes sense. But instead, everybody's just blind about this.
So, exactly. And you bring a very good point. It is, in my opinion, and from the science that we have all been able to see, it is cyclic. Now, we obviously have to be better. We have to be good stewards of the environment, or better stewards of the environment. You can't pump chemicals. We understand what happened with
you want to know what?
DDT and all that other stuff.
We've done that.
Yeah.
We're producing less CO2 than we ever have, okay? We're doing that, but we're punishing ourselves for that. Oh, yes. And our production and refining of fossil fuels is far better than the countries we are now exporting it from. That didn't make any sense. If they really cared about the Earth, and CO2 emissions, we would find the most efficient way to produce it and buy it from there But instead, we're going, no, we're going to cut our, we're going to be totally, well, we can't be totally green. So we cut our production and buy from people who put out more toxic waste than our refineries.
True. So what's the answer?
Do have to find renewable sources of energy because fossil fuels will run out. They're going to run out. And here's something else people don't think about. We just don't consume petroleum for energy. We produce a lot of materials like plastics. Imagine, think of all the plastics in your house. If we were to, sooner or later, we're going to run out of our fossil fuels. So what we really need to do is, yes, start looking at renewables. And as they come online, then we can cut back. In fact, what we need to do is we need to really, in all honesty, we need to go nuclear. You know, we got to shut the Greenpeace people up and go nuclear. And that will get us off the fossil fuels for energy, and we can use the fossil fuels for the husband those, make them last longer, the availability, so we can produce the materials we need just for our daily lives. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to produce more. I mean, but we want everybody to be on electric cars. Okay. I've lived through hurricanes here on the Virginia Peninsula. In fact, I forgot which one it was, maybe Irene. We were out of power for over a week. You know how we charged our cell phones? With our car. Go out. We were living. We were cooking with gas, and we were living like in the 19th century. It had Coleman lamps for lighting in the house. But we got out in the van and we would turn it on, and that was returning to the 20th century again.
Right.
Yeah. Now let's look at those people down in Florida who have electric vehicles. What are you going to do? Okay. Until that power comes up.
You're going to be suffering. Yeah.
You know, you can't charge your, car, you know, you're going to have, so, and then again, okay. So California does, let's say that when they finally go totally green with, electrical vehicles, they don't have enough electricity in the batteries to go from LA to San Francisco. I mean, So you're saying nobody's going to be able to travel? Well, then all of a sudden you're going to have to develop your public transportation. You're going to have to develop your railroads. I think they had problems with that. I don't think anybody's really thinking this stuff through. They're just saying, hey, we're just going to go cold turkey on this
and suffer
the consequences.
Yeah. Millions of people will die. Potentially billions.
I don't know about millions. I don't know about millions. But
around
I know
world,
every winter. Every,
around
oh,
the world.
No, but I'm talking
That's
America.
I'm no, I'm talking around the world.
Every hard winter, I mean, you're talking about hundreds of people will be dying.
Mm. Well, I think we get hundreds of people dying now, and we've got electricity.
That's what I'm talking about. So,
yeah, I mean.
So it's just going to become the norm. You know, we'll,
so my question is what is the acceptable death rate for the green energy movement?
I don't think they care either.
I think they're blind
in their passion.
Yeah. What do you think? I mean, so this is kind of a segue that's going to go into what we're talking about, sin and government. But I'm going to bring up a name, a historical name, and then we're going to go into this. But, the Greenpeace movement, the Sierra Project, all of these groups, I think that, and I've met and sat down and talked to many of those folks. And they appear to be compassionate for the and care about the lives of whales, parks, dogs, cats, animals of all kinds. But when it comes to people, they don't care. Because if they did, then they would fully look at the effects, the immediate loss of life. If they think COVID was bad, imagine a winter in America with no energy. Imagine that.
Well, we will have energy, but we'll have reduced energy, okay? And as you pointed out, renewable energy is not reliable energy,
mm-hmm.
okay? And they're finding that out. And that's the other thing. You know, we should be studying these places that have gone green and look at it, says, what are the problems here? All right. How much energy does it, does it produce? You know, when is, how often are there blackouts? All right. I was reading about, that crisis in Germany.
Yeah.
It wasn't as windy as they expected, okay? Keep in mind, Germany can't go solar because the sun only shines 2 weeks out of the year, okay?
Right.
It's cloudy all the time. Scotland can't go solar because it's always raining up there.
Mm.
But so they went to wind, wind turbines, and
mm-hmm.
that one winter, it was a couple years back, it just wasn't as windy as they had expected.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Hmm. Well, I think that, you know, when you really look at the fallout from bad energy policies, it is always mm-hmm. going to be filled with dead people and warfare, man. Every time that mm-hmm. we put our energy in the hands of a foreign country, we end up going to war and big ones, you know. I mean, it's just the reality of it. And then, you know, I just don't get the mental capacity I don't understand that goes into the green energy movement. Why?
All right. I'll give it to you.
Okay.
We're going to destroy our world. So we have to accept a few casualties in order to fix the problem. Otherwise, we will destroy our world. Then nobody will be able to live. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It makes sense. But
you know, for the Church of Global Warming, they believe the temperature will keep rising till the point we can't live anymore. All right.
Hmm.
Or the sea levels will rise, that islands will disappear, Florida will be underwater again. Right.
Well, again, is a good way to put it, because it has been underwater before.
It is. It has been. Okay.
You know, you studied paleontology. And you understand mm-hmm. that there is sea life that has been found in some of the highest, you know, sea life fossils. Let me reemphasize that, in some of the highest altitudes on the Earth.
Well, that's because of plate tectonics. That's because the Pleistocene era. And when we're talking
mm-hmm.
about, mammals, it was
mm-hmm.
underwater. So there's no uplifting in there. No, it was underwater. And it
the
will be
flood.
Underwater again sometime. Right?
What's your thoughts on the Great Flood? Noah's Ark, Great Flood?
I believe it was localized. I mean, the author of that, and the author of that, their whole world was underwater as far as they were concerned, but the whole world was not underwater. I believe it was a localized flood. And it's recorded, the story of Noah's Ark has been written about in long before the book of Genesis. So it's a historical fact, but I think in the retelling of it, that it's the story has been told to been given a new moral.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think it's always had the the gods. You know, theological message here. It's, you know, and before it was like the gods were getting angry about, you know, the people were getting too noisy, so they wanted to destroy them. Okay, and I think that's in the Epic of Gilgamesh, in which one of the gods comes down and warns. I don't remember the Sumerian name for Noah. It's real long. But anyway, warns him to build this boat and load up. I think it was mostly domestic animals and things like that in order to save them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's plenty of evidence of large-scale flooding throughout the history of ancient Sumer, yeah, or the Mesopotamian.
Okay. Well, I'm sure the Father Michael has something to say on that. You there, Father Mike?
I have read the legends as well. Can you hear me?
Yes, I got you now. Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay. And it's very possible that it could have been localized. Even though, as Rich said, there were other stories, I think it just establishes the historical fact that it happened.
Right.
And certainly, yeah. I did have a question about the possible sabotage and the motivation with the news that we received today about the four annexed regions in the Ukraine. You were saying earlier, James, that there's a need for money, and obviously that's always the motivation. Do you think that that had anything to do with this sabotage and the blowing up of this pipeline?
Rich, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, that's one of the like I'd mentioned that just briefly, that he could use this as an excuse to jack up prices, okay? Mm-hmm. And that has been proffered as a one of the explanations why he'd do it, but we don't know, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We're guessing, and again, we have no evidence as to who set that and how they blew up that that pipeline. We're just assuming, you know, the only person
right.
who would benefit from this would be Putin. So that's right. why NATO is jumping to the conclusion Russia did it. Okay. And there's the two main theories or motives as to why is, one, he can increase prices of because remember, they've been trying to cut back on the fuel from other sources, from Russia, and he can put Germany in a very difficult place during the upcoming winter, so he can get NATO basically to back off and let them annex those eastern region of Ukraine. But he's got a serious problem. I mean, his country is about to rebel on him. Okay, this call up of troops is backfiring.
I
read something
about
that says he is now hiding in a secret palace.
Mm-hmm. As far as energy is concerned, what is your knowledge of the Hoover Dam and its effectiveness and things of that nature? Because, you know, we're talking about energy and those things that have been serving us for a while. It seems to be efficient. I'm agreeing with you, Rich, as well, as far as nuclear power, clean. But I think that there has to be diversity as well. And you said something
right.
really interesting, Rich, and that is God has put just so much in the earth.
Right.
I believe it's limited,
actually,
as you mentioned. Yes.
This is really, I mean, what I just told you guys is not really my idea. My cousin, it has a PhD in chemistry. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's Chad Kilbane. And he's a professor at some college in Kansas. And we had a talk about this because he's planning to leave the education field, and he wants to get involved in fixing this problem. That advocate says we need to shift more to nuclear energy. He also talked about we're going to run out of fossil fuel.
Right.
And he's the one that pointed out to me all the other things that we produce. He's a chemist. He's like, you have no idea how dependent we are on petroleum products for everything we use in our house, okay, or our job. And so we're going to have to we have to shift to renewables in order to husband the fossil fuels, right? And so what he wants to do is get involved in the research on and he talked about local production, things we can do smart, like, okay, what do we use? Okay, we've been talking about heating and cooling, or consumes a lot. All right, well, what do we use transportation for? Because we have consolidated all our factories into places where it's like there's this one plant that produces this. And unfortunately, it's been produced in China. If it's something strategic that our country can't function without, they didn't know. Let's have lots of small factories so we don't have to ship as much. We can reduce our transportation. That's just being smart, right? And instead of one big factory, a lot of little factories spread out around the nation so that, hey, we spread the jobs out. Mm-hmm. West Virginia gets work. We start, putting production there. And farming. He got into farming. He says there are a lot of, there are a lot more efficient ways to farm. Especially indoor farming. All right. Now, I think, James, you might have had some experience with that. But, I'm sitting there going, hey, I challenged you. Mm-hmm. I said, look, we're from the Great Plains. You've got miles and miles of cornfields, wheat fields. I mean, you can't put all that indoors. He goes, actually, you can. if you do, I think it's hydroponics. He said, you can actually grow more grain more efficiently indoors using these new methods than you can the old traditional of plowing up the ground, putting in fertilizer, and then, praying on good weather. Okay. So these are not my ideas. This, so while we're advocating that we're not the experts, my cousin actually is. And these were his ideas communicated to me, and I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. Makes more sense than what I know. I just know this whole thing.
We ought to have him on the show.
Likely. Huh?
Yeah, we ought to have him on the show. And that kind of segues into the next part, the next hour that we're going to go into. We're going to talk about, what has sin as it is explained in the Bible, as it's explained in many other ways, how has that influenced government, and what do we got going on? And I told you I was going to say a name to you all, and when I say this name was made famous in 1983, okay, when a far-left communist terrorist group actually bombed the U.S. Capitol building. You remember that? The bombing of the U.S. Capitol building. Susan Rosenberg was arrested with a cache of explosives in 1984 and sentenced to 58 years in prison for the attack. Bill Clinton commuted her sentence in 2001, and now Susan Rosenberg now sits on the board of Black Lives Matter. Bet you didn't know that. And if you did, good for you, you folks out there that are listening in and really trying to listen to this. Because I can tell you, if you go pull up Susan Rosenberg, she's made quite the sum of money. After she was arrested, she spent most of her youth as a Vietnam War protester, and then became a member of the Weather Underground and other radical organizations which use violence as a tool for political change. Rosenberg was sentenced to 58 years. As she said, she was also a suspect in a 1981 armed car robbery, which left one guard and two officers dead. And she was released in prison from, you know, by none other than Bill Clinton. Now, you know, obviously, listen to this. Her commutation by Bill Clinton led to bipartisan criticism. And I want you to listen to these two names that actively spoke out against Susan Rosenberg being released from prison by none other than Bill Clinton. Republican New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani, and guess who else? U.S. Senator Chuck Schumer, the Democrat from New York. And I can tell you that he was livid about her being released. You know who wasn't? Senator Joe Biden. So now you know the rest of the story. Father Michael, let's talk about sin. Let's talk about sin in government. Let's talk about how this influencing the world that we live in. You got the floor, sir.
I want to frame it. I just listed about seven categories, and I'd like you to then tell me what would be good for us to highlight. Because when I took the rubric that you provided, sin in government, I wrote a few things down that I think we need to consider as we deliberate on this. The first one is, it is not servant leadership. What we're seeing in government today is not servant leadership. As a matter of fact, the people fear their government. There's a sense of overreaching and lording over. I mean, we've seen so much recently going on with corruption in the FBI, things of that nature. I feel like it's been more self-serving than really serving the people. And the other thing, and we hear so many promises, they keep fighting each other. There's such a partisan spirit that instead of serving the people, it seems like they're always trying to get back at each other. It's not functional. You know, it's dysfunctional family. The other thing is misappropriation of funds. So much waste comes out. You know, they're just not being good stewards, as you said earlier. And we find out all these millions and millions of dollars were wasted and misappropriated of the taxpayers' money. And then the whole thing with the career politicians instead of citizens serving a term or two, the whole thing on term limits. I think people get too comfortable, too powerful, and there's where the corruption comes in. And irrespective, people keep putting them back in because they know that a level of power. And, you know, historically, we have those who've been in there close to 50 years. So, you know, when we talk about sin, it's missing the mark. And when you're supposed to be doing something according to your job description and you're falling short, I think these are some of the areas, the abuse of authority, overreaching. Even during COVID, there was such an overreaching, and there's such a fear now. I mean, Mike Lindell, you know, gets his phone confiscated, and it's almost like we're afraid of the government rather than the government fearing the people in a wholesome way as far as replacing them. So that's what I kind of tried to frame out after you shared the rubric that you wanted to talk about.
Right. Well, and I'm glad that you brought that out, because, you know, we have some pretty good dialogue via emails and texts, and we had some dialogue. Now, when we talk about sin, folks, this is going to be, understand that we're having an open discussion here, and there are some things that are occurring in this country, things that are acceptable now as being normal were seen for, being very bad and perverted. And I'm not just talking about the whole sex issue. I'm talking about literally there were people that really took their job serious and they saw even taking an extra 5 minutes for lunch as stealing from your employer.
Right.
Whereas now, there's no such thing as stealing from your employer. I mean, even people that embezzle money every now and then they catch them, but most of the time they get away with it. And they steal a tremendous amount of money. We're not talking a few thousand here. We're talking a few million in some cases. But just like with Susan Rosenberg, a terrorist, convicted terrorist.
In fact, I think I remember her story. She was the one in that robbery where, and I think that's why the senators from New York were upset about that, is because that robbery took place. And I think she was living in Massachusetts, but they had caught all the robbers except one, the woman. And I don't think she pulled the trigger. I think she was like a stakeout. She was watching for the police or whatever. But the fact that that made her an accomplice to the murder. And I think that's why Clinton, pardoned her was, well, one, because he's anti-Vietnam anyway. And this was all, part of the Vietnam demonstrations. But she actually, I think she turned herself in. She was a middle-aged woman, had a whole new lifestyle, and she finally went ahead and turned herself in, and they sentenced her, and Clinton pardoned her. All right, she's not a terrorist anymore. All right, she was.
Well, now
whatever the weather underground.
Just pardoning. Her record was not expunged. So she was still a convicted terrorist.
I'm just correcting you on the semantics of what you said is she's a terrorist. No, she's not a terrorist.
She was a convicted terrorist. Yeah.
That means she was a terrorist, but she's not a terrorist today.
But she sits on the board of Black Lives Matter.
Right, and we now know that board that is one of the most corrupt organizations going. Even members of the BLM are suing the leadership because the money's not getting down to them. Yeah.
There you go. So, and is Father Michael, is stealing and corruption considered a sin?
Yes, it is. It hasn't changed. And, the whole thing of the intent of our heart and the motivation of, in the last two Sundays, I've been preaching on some really difficult economic texts. And one is The Unjust Steward and one was The Rich Man Lazarus. And we've really lowered the bar. We've really lowered the standard. And I'm all for mercy and pardon. But if you're still terrorizing, but just in a different way, in my estimation, you're still a terrorist. You may have been forgiven, pardoned, but if you're not doing the opposite, then you're not really showing any reparation or any penance about what you did. Now, if you don't ever think that you did anything wrong and you were misunderstood or whatever the situation might be. But I think we have to be honest. We can't say evil is good and good is evil, but that's what happens today. We just have it backwards. Everything that meant something in years gone by means something else now. We're totally confused and dysfunctional, as I mentioned earlier. So, yeah, I think we have to get back to some basic integrity and ethics. I give a lecture today, and I had a nice, really good response. But going way back to Aristotle and, you know, some things that were considered what we call moral philosophy, you know, that were highly esteemed in that society. Now, there's a lot of blind spots in those who have gone before us, but nonetheless, there are certain ethical standards, you know, that have not changed. And I think we have so much confusion today, you know, because we're saying good is bad and bad is good. And like I said, I'm all for pardon, grace, forgiveness, and mercy. But then out of gratitude for that pardon and grace and mercy, you have to do something productive. You know, when I have prayed with people that have done heinous things, of which I can't repeat, I try to help them now to focus their energies. Not that they're paying for their sin, but they're doing something constructive, whereas they were doing something destructive. And it's very important that we learn how to do that.
I'm going to bring up two more names. And we had this discussion before during the week. Again, we're talking about sin. We're talking about what's creeped into the government. Now, the first name may not sound familiar to you, but it is a name that has become synonymous with the word traitor, and that is Bradley Manning, later becoming Chelsea Manning.
Yeah.
You remember that name. Now, Rich knows where I'm going with this, and you know, him and I talked about this before, but the next name that I want to talk to you about is Major.
Yep.
Yep. Jamie Lee Henry.
I had it written down.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And you know, there are two things that are in common with these two, and it's not just the fact that they're traitors, but there is a lifestyle or a desire to be something that they were not born to be.
Mm-hmm.
And some, including myself, considers that a sin. You know, I mean, I was just brought up in a home that, you know, that was just not acceptable. You know, God created you to be a man or a woman. And there has been this acceptance of, and it gets even more bizarre than just the man and the woman thing. I mean, there are people that, you know, see themselves as a non-binary giraffe. And that's a very real thing, guys.
But even people that are born with two sexual organs, there are two scientists that I consulted with. One has a PhD from MIT. Another one's a very prominent one. He says you can still determine their sexuality. See, this is rebellion against God. God, you made me a certain way. You made a mistake. I don't accept it. It's rebellion. That's really what it is. I'm not accepting what God has endowed me with, even the different gifts and talents that I have. You know, that was Satan's problem. He wanted to be in a sphere that was beyond his competence. He wanted to be like God. He was a tremendous worship leader. He had great beauty. We know basically the function that he had. He was an esteemed archangel. That's why Michael dared not bring a railing accusation against him, but said, "The Lord rebukes thee." But there are some people that want to be more than God has endowed them with. Now, some people, you know, bury their talent and don't cultivate it at all. But it is sin because it's a rebellion against God. God made me a certain way. He's the creator, and I'm telling him he's wrong so I can mutilate myself.
Now, James, you still there?
Yes, I'm here now. Sorry about that, guys. Do you got me now?
Yeah. Could you hear what I had said? Or
I did. I was listening in on my phone, so I want to make sure that that you guys could hear me. But I, like I said, my internet's been a little bit wonky, but it's kind of funny that it goes out, you know, as we start this discussion. So, so. You know, when I look at this, okay, you know, especially the issues that we face in America today, I mean, obviously, I'm not going to blame it all on somebody's desire to be this, that, or the other. But I am going to say, you know, that there are some issues there that I don't think are being addressed. And I mean, I'm talking mental health issues here. Is it a mental health issue or is it a sin issue? Or is it just become acceptable? And at what point do we say what is, you know, what else is going to be acceptable? The sacrifice of humans at an altar because there's a religion that stands up and says, hey, we're going back to the days of, and I'm trying to think of what was that culture in Mexico that their religion was, is they sacrificed people. The Aztec. Are we going to have an Aztec religion? Is that going to be acceptable? And then when somebody comes to take your child, to take them to the altar of sacrifice, are you going to be arrested for trying to stop them? At what point do you say enough is enough? And that's the problem that I have with the acceptance of sin as normal.
James, can I? The Army sent me to the miniature clinic for a week of intense study. The originator, the founder of the miniature clinic, it's in Topeka, Kansas, wrote a book, Just What You're Saying. Whatever became a sin. These are psychiatrists. And just what you're saying, we make an excuse, and it can be psychological, and it can be, you know, a number of different issues, and we want to have compassion. But now there's no category for sin. I mean, even the exorcist that gave me high-level training, a whole group of us recently, they have a psychiatrist on their team, a medical doctor, nutritionist, all these different things. Not everything's a demon, okay? Been studying about Judas in my Bible study, and there's different perspective as to why he betrayed the Lord Jesus, since you're talking about betrayal. Mm-hmm. I think we can't negate the fact that these psychiatrists, and there's a clinic now that helps people in Topeka, Kansas. Like I said, the Army sent me for a week of training, but the book is called Whatever Became of Sin. And so we have to ask these questions. Not everything's a psychological situation or a nutritious situation or a medical situation, and not everything's a demonic situation either, but we are depraved, okay? We are fallen. They've tried to build all kinds of utopias all through the world, all through the centuries, and it's been dystopian instead of utopian, okay, because of the anthropology, because we're fallen, and because of original sin, that's why we need a savior. So we need to ask that question and not negate psychological problems, but if you're familiar with M. Scott Peck, he was a psychiatrist, MD, in Connecticut back in the 80s, probably getting over $300 an hour. Then he realized that in medical school and psychiatry school, he wasn't trained to discern evil, the demonic, okay? And he's a believer in demons, okay? Not everything is a demon, But just getting back to your original question, whatever became a sin, when do we say this is sin? We need to confess it, deny ourselves, renounce it. It's not an excuse. Everything now is an excuse. You know, you were born and you did this and you did that and this happened to you, so therefore you don't really have free will as much as someone else has. And we've basically told people they don't have to take responsibility for themselves. They're predetermined. They don't have free will. So I think that you're really going onto something where we have to say, is it sin or is it not? How does God view it? It's not my opinion. It's not your opinion. You know, one time I did a wedding, 1978, in the Coast Guard Academy, because I pastored in New London, Connecticut for 20 years. And St. Paul, you know, not only the love chapter, but the whole order in the family. This guy met me in the men's room because my glasses had broken, and he said, oh, I really liked what you had to say. Then I met his wife, and she didn't like anything I had to say. And I told her, I said, look, your argument's not with me. It's with the Word of God. I found out it was like their third marriage or whatever, and probably they were having difficulties. And this is the thing. These aren't our opinions. We're believing in God's Word. That's how we live. That is basically our guidebook. And it's not to condemn anyone. Only God condemns. It's to have good judgment. Obviously, when you're talking about mutilating little children. And, you know, I heard Bill Maher say when he was a kid, he wanted to be a pirate. He said, if they would have taken me seriously, he said, I'd have a peg leg and one eye missing today. I think we have to get common sense back into the conversation, but common sense is not that common. And in many years that I've lived, that's one thing I have learned. Common sense is not that common. So I recommend the book. I've had many copies during the years, but it's called Whatever Became a Sin, and there are two psychiatrists, and the Menninger Clinic still exists. The United States Army sent me there for training, and it's in Topeka, Kansas.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, so, and you got a lot out of that. I mean, so this that we're talking about is not something that not been asked before, and it really, you know, anytime that you bring up anything, especially now that relates to the, you know, the LGBTQ or, you know, anything in general, I mean, it's considered taboo. You're not allowed to talk about it. You know, if you talk about it, you could be sued. You know, you could be, you know, you could lose your livelihood because that's the way the leftist and what I
wait,
consider.
Wait. James, are you referring to the discussion we had? Or
no,
you,
no.
Do you have a case where someone was sued for talking about LGBTQ?
Well,
no,
you know, they consider it a hate crime.
Talking about it is not a hate crime. Okay, that's political incorrectness. Do you know of anybody?
So,
now, I cited examples,
yes.
You know, because we were specifically talking about that. You know, Fox came on the news and they were, and you guys shared it. And I was like, always check your source. If it's announced on Fox and it's not anywhere else, they're exaggerating. Just like if it comes out on CNN, they're exaggerating it. And the superintendent of the Air Force Academy wrote a letter explaining the context for which they were talking about, these pronouns. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept talking about, you know, as professional, Air Force officers, you are going to work with civilians, the team. And you need to understand, to get the most out of these teams, you have to be, you have to understand the pronouns by which they prefer to go by. And I excited to you, I said, keep in mind, most Army headquarters are pretty much 50% or more civilians. When I when I would attend a command and staff for my general, I would say half the people at that table or around that room were civilians, okay? And the Army, the Department of Defense, cannot discriminate against race, creed, gender, whatever, and whatever you refer to yourself as. If you hire one of those, see, what you're saying is, I do not have to tolerate. Well, guess what? Your career in the working for the Department of Defense is going to be short-lived, all right? I joked about it that we hired person, no one knew what his or her gender was, and we could not ask, okay? That didn't affect, you know, and it's saying like, so if we don't hire because of that, that's discrimination.
We're not talking about that. What you and I were talking about was that, as you said, that I would have to call them by the pronoun that they so desire. So if they walk in and say, look, you are going to call me a non-binary giraffe, and I told you, no, I will not. I will call you GS-13, your last name. And there is
And that's how we dealt with it. We didn't refer to that person by pronoun. We just called that person by his or her name. That was it. It's a simple way. You know, if you have a problem
and
with that pronoun, just address them by their title and their name. But
students,
you can't call them something they don't want to be called.
What gender? I've had students that I didn't know what gender they were. Whatever name you want, I put it in the book. If it's as long as I can recognize when I give you a grade, that's not why we're here. Okay, we're not here to, you know, we're here for a totally different reason. I'll respect you. You respect me. We were talking about titles the other day in class because I'm teaching them how to write an argument paper, and he just used my last name. I said, no, I have a title. You either call me father or doctor. You know, we have to respect each other, okay? But it doesn't mean that I have to change my perspective. And I've shown love and care.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, some of them I've looked at, I have no idea what they were, what they were trying to become. But I really don't care. They have a soul.
Right.
Have a soul.
That's right. That's right. And that was the theme of the superintendent's letter. All right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, we're part of a team. We're trying to get something done. We need to show the proper respect for each other in order to get that accomplished. Let's not start splitting hairs. You know, I have a problem with this pronoun, so I can't work with you. I'm going to create discord. That's not the objective. All right.
It's not professional.
Now, I want to go back and address the issue of when we went in to talk about sin. James started this conversation off with two traders who were transgender. Okay. Were you going someplace with that? Are you implying that transgender people have a propensity for betraying this country?
Well, here's what I'm telling you, that two of them, which is out of a very small, they're a very small minority, have become traitors.
Two, okay? You want to know, all right, so out of all the people who have gone over to the other side and sold secrets, two transgender.
Yep.
What
that
about all
know.
The others?
That,
well, no. Well, yeah, but we're talking about, let's look at the ones that have been captured. Because I had to study that when I got my TS clearance. We have to read up on all these spies, people who have sold out. Go ahead.
It was never acceptable come out until about 1993 or 91 or whatever it was I think it was 93 whenever it was really, you know, I mean, obviously we can go back to the 70s with the riots in San Francisco, but there was a time, you know, that, you know, it wasn't popular. So how do we know? We don't know. But what we do know.
All right. So what you're implying is people who are transgender have a greater propensity for betraying their country. Is that what you're saying?
Well, two of them in the Army definitely have done it.
Okay. So there. All right. So what's your recommendation? We don't give them security clearances? We don't allow them in the Army?
My recommendation is not a recommendation. It is a suggestion. And a suggestion would be to, at one point in time, are we really, when he talked about, you know, the who'd you say, Bill Meyer? Who was it that said that about being a pilot?
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, do we really, honestly, is it not, what's the, I mean, do we not see this as a, either
Wait, you're jumping around, James. If you're talking about children, I'm in agreement with you. Yes,
yeah.
We've got to let children grow up. But you started off talking about two people who became transgender and traitors, and then we went into the discussion of sin. I want to bring this up, all right?
Can I just say something real quick before you do?
Yeah, go ahead.
I got some clarification. This is from a really good source. In our last administration, we were not allowed to commission transgenders. In this administration, we are. Okay, so there's been some suspicion, even psychologically, and no one wants to persecute or dominate anyone, but we will all stand before God and give an account for our lives. But I'm just saying that it's a little more accepted, just like when President Clinton did Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And so, you know, there's been a whole lot. And, of course, going all the way back, was it President Truman, you know, that allowed there to be integration. And so, it is something that we're adjusting to. But it doesn't mean that's a good point.
Because by the time Clinton was the president, they had done a survey in the armed forces asking enlisted soldiers, how they felt about it. And the vast majority of them didn't care, whether we have gays in the military or not. They didn't care. So it's kind of like, all right, let's open the door. The thing was, homosexuals always served in the military. Now, the thing I'm opposed to is someone who feels they're transgender joins the Army to get the government to pay for their surgery. The problem is, during all that process, which takes years, you're non-deployable. You can't do the job we're paying you to do. Okay? So, I'm opposed. After you've had the operation stuff, you want to come into the military, that's fine. But here's the issue I was going to bring up. So in the beginning, when God puts man in the Garden of Eden, he creates two trees. All right. Why did God put those two trees in there? And then tell Adam and Eve not to eat from them. Why did he put the two trees in there?
Only
if
one
he didn't
tree
want them to eat from them, why did he put it there to tempt them?
Not only one tree. Rich, there's prohibitions on a lot of things. There are probably things you told your children not to do, okay?
Right.
In the sinful state, if they ate from the tree of life, they would stay in that state forever.
Mm-hmm.
Because one tree.
But my point is,
God
gave man choice. God
That's
gave
right.
man choice to sin or not sin.
That's right.
If he didn't want. See, here's my problem is intolerance, right? So you've given us a little lecture on sin and the consequences of it, and but the way we started this conversation, because Father Michael, you're right on track. We need to identify and let everybody know, like abortion. Okay, based on a near death experiences, unborn children have souls. Okay,
that's right.
And in the NDEs, when you listen to them, they talk about encountering these, aborted or, babies die in the womb or whatever. Their souls are in heaven, and there are angels that nurture them. Okay, so, all right, you want to have an abortion? You need to know. You're killing a living thing that has a soul. Well, I want to hear it. It's a piece of, it's just flesh. No, it's not. I'm not telling you you can't do it. That's up to the law. I just want you to know you're actually murdering somebody, a thing, a living thing.
And when I was
thing.
In the military yeah. paid for that, and they were,
right.
I was always told they weren't allowed to, like you're saying, why are we paying for these operations, even in prison?
Yeah.
You know,
my
that,
point
that's
being
not
is,
right to
okay,
put it on everybody else.
Yeah, yeah it's a, but it's a choice. God gave us all
yes.
the choice, the opportunity to choose between doing the right thing and sin. Okay. So, if he didn't want us to have choice, he wouldn't have put that there. And see,
that's right.
There are religions based on, you know, what we know about radical Islam. There is also Jewish, you know, radical extreme Jewish sect, as well as Christian sects that
mm-hmm.
are intolerant. And it's like, we should not be allowed to sin. I'm like, no, there's a message out there that you got to make people aware of what you were just doing. You need to be aware of it. You need to be aware of the consequences of this, but it's your choice, okay?
Right. That's right.
Well, you're right. You have a choice, and it's not a level of intolerance. As I told you, there, you know, we know we serve with people that were, you know, homosexuals, and you know, that's their choice. The problem that I have is the attempting to force others to accept that life normal when we know through our faith and our teaching that it is not.
Okay.
You know, it
so,
doesn't mean that
so
we go
what
out
you're
and
saying,
discriminate
James,
against
is
us.
That
now,
if you were
finish,
oh, go
quick.
Ahead.
Let
go
me
ahead.
Finish real quick.
All right, I didn't know you were finished.
So, yeah, now let me finish real quick. It's not that we are going to discriminate. We will hire them, work with them, serve with them, fight alongside, and we
okay.
have. You know, I can tell you soldiers in the 518th that were that way, and we have no issues with them. Their lifestyle is their choice. But at the point when I have to go into work and be told that you will person or call this person by this pronoun, that's when my pushback is I will call them by their title. That's the only thing I'm saying. I don't think that we should be
forced. But I think that's acceptable. I don't think that's a problem. If you address
okay.
someone by their title and their name, you don't have to deal with the pronoun issue.
Yeah, that's the point that I'm making.
That's perfectly acceptable.
Well, we had a teacher that was fired in a nearby community from where Rich and I live because they refused to do that. And, you know, I've had students do all kinds of papers on a lot of the stuff that's going on now. Some of it, which isn't logical, and I deal with logic. But, you know, there's something about love covering a multitude of sins. I want to win people. And, you know, there's a saying that says, you want to go where you're celebrated, not tolerated. No one wants to feel like you're tolerated. Although, really, the free game today is for the believing Christian, Catholic, Evangelical, Pentecostal. It's like, you know, it's free game. You can say whatever. And that's not just. That's unfortunate. But the Bible says in Romans 12:2, and the Phillips translation says it best, don't let the world squeeze you into their mold. That's what I hear James saying, and I think you're absolutely right, James. Do not let the world squeeze you into their mold. And you know what I'm saying? It has nothing to do with acceptance.
Yes.
I'm just not going to submit to what you – if you tell me a man can have a baby, okay, I heard a doctor say it today, and, you know, because they have a uterus because they've been – changed in as far as biologically, don't squeeze me into your mold. That's not my worldview. I want to love you. I really do. Even if I hate you, okay, even if you're my enemy and you treat me wrong, I want to love you. That's why Dr. King won the day. and that Malcolm X did not. And I have a lot of respect for him because I lived outside of New York City, and he did a lot for the African-American male. However, love, okay, doesn't mean full acceptance of everything that you want me to believe in because you do. We got to show this freedom and freedom of speech. I tell you, I have some students, they say, Father, I know you won't out me, but I can't give this topic in class because I'll be canceled. That's the environment we're in.
Yes.
And, you know, I wear my collar to school. People know I have a target on my back. People know who I am. There's no question. I got a big cross in my pocket. You know what I'm saying? But I just think that, you know, it's true. You know, when I taught at HBCU, I used to have a pretty big Orthodox cross that I'd wear. And some of the students used to wear crosses, kind of jewelry, just for, you know, not because of their conviction. But it would be funny because mine was usually bigger than theirs, you know, and they give us something to connect on. But, you know, I love them. I didn't try to condemn them and say, well, why are you wearing that? You know, but I just think that we just have to, love covers a multitude of sins. And just the way the Lord has overlooked so much, and he still does so much of our sin, I just think that we just want to be loving. I am not going to be squeezed into the world's mold. You're not going to remake me. The Lord is my creator, my redeemer, and my sanctifier. And he'll make me the way he wants me to be, not someone else's philosophy.
So I'm going to give you all an example of something that was sent to me today. And I got to pull it up, so give me just 1 second. But it has to do with an American Legion post, and I'm a member of the American Legion, in West Virginia. And it came out as an email, and it was a transgender I can't even pronounce the name. But anyway, it says, hello, hi, good morning. Come see where I'll be spreading my legs all over the tri-state this October. PM me for more boom, boom booking info. And obviously it's an entertainer. But one of the places is American Legion Post 15 in Parkersburg, West Virginia. Now, every other place that this is going on is the cellar door. It's, you know, it's a, you know, an LGBTQ, bar, the Loud, same thing, Huntington Pride, Ashland Pride Brunch. All of those are forums where that's acceptable. But the American Legion, and when members express their, you know, they're disgust with it. You know, number one, we're dues-paying members. I pay dues. You know, we support this facility. And it's like, I get it. You have entertainment. People rent out the building. You know, it goes back to, you know, at what point do we say, you know, I mean, seriously, what would happen if that was a woman that was doing that? Saying, come let me see me spread my legs all over the tri-state. She would be titled as a whore and a slut and would never be able to advertise and be a stripper in one of these American Legion posts. I've never seen it happen. I've been to plenty of VFW and American Legion posts, and while we have some, you know, I've seen a lot of people get really good and drunk and see some good bars there. Or, I mean, seeing some good bands there, my bad. But I never saw entertainment like that. And just like I saw Workforce allowed one of these, you know, displays to occur on one of their bases. You know, this to me, it's like, why can't we just keep all this out of business? Let's keep it out of our national defense posture. I don't care if you're a transgender. I don't care what you are. You know what I mean? I really don't. But why does it have to be put and shoved in our faces constantly in a venue, at a venue, that is just unacceptable? That's my problem. I have a real problem with that. I really do, especially taxpayer or dues-paid facilities like that. What's your thought?
You know, I think even some real liberal churches that are, you know, trying to use shock therapy, you know, to win people, I think it desecrates the house of God. You're talking about government. I'm talking about the church. I think it's despicable. You remember these drag queens that were reading to little kids? We're confusing people, especially children, too much too soon. You know, I have an Old Testament written in Hebrew, and where there's rapes or incest, they don't give the English translation because they wait till the young person, 12 or 13, learns the language. And we're corrupting our children too much too soon. That's not family entertainment. It's despicable. And
right.
And like I said, you see all kinds of situations where people open that up and they impose it. They don't propose it. They impose it on the rest of us, and it's not right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. The American Legion, like the VFW, is a private organization. You're a member. It's like a club. You pay your dues. Okay. They can, each one of these posts can rent out their space to anybody they want. But the way I'm hearing it is, you don't know, you know, that Legion post decided, you know, because I, you know, the one we had in Oklahoma had a restaurant, and it had, you know, it was entertaining people all the time. All right. And mm-hmm. and you got a lot of these lion clubs and elks clubs. They're large facilities. So if somebody is wanting to have a show, they will go and rent that to members of that club. You are not a member of it. You're a member of your post. So if the members of that post decide they want to rent it out to these people and take their money, that's their choice, not your choice. You can vote in your Legion post. They vote in their Legion post. But
well,
you
just,
are imposing your views on somebody else.
What are you talking about? You're saying that it's okay for that to happen in the American Legion post? That's not only paid by dues-paying members. Now, hold on a second. There's plenty of donors out there that donate to the American Legion, and the national headquarters divvies down each one of those places money.
Right.
I'm telling you, understand that. And the thing is that there was no vote taken because plenty of members of that post are just...
You didn't say that, James. You didn't bring anything up about that. Now, if you said, then who did rent it out?
Post
You're leaving a lot out, James. The only thing I'm hearing is one post decides to host, allow this show, which you find objectionable, that they shouldn't be allowed to do it. Now, there may be dissenting votes, but they may have been the minority. I don't know. Do you know? What are the facts? What are the details? You're already drawing, you're passing judgment, and we don't have all the facts. Maybe you do.
Well,
give them to me.
Well, I have the fact that it's occurring, and I have the fact that not every member got to vote on it, and I have the fact that it has nothing to do.
Whoa. Let me back up on that. I was a member of the Legion. How many members of the Legion actually show up to meetings and vote? You're right. Most of them don't. You're saying they didn't vote. It's not because they didn't have an opportunity. I guarantee you that because I've been a member of the Legion of VFW. Very few people show up.
Yeah.
And vote. So, yeah, if they were to vote, that's on them.
Yeah. Well.
And I want to add that. And that's another thing a problem we have. Because then the people that, I mean, seriously, it's only like a dozen people in the lead. We had several hundred members. Only dozen of us would show up. We vote, and then you have people complain about the vote.
No, Rich, this is a huge post, and they have a very, very active group of people, and there was no vote taken. Now, the other thing is that really?
Wait, you know that is a fact. You know that is a fact.
I know it is a fact. I know the post
okay,
commander.
All right. Then James, you should have brought that up in the beginning.
Well,
James, I'm sitting here arguing you with no facts. You just threw out a decision with no facts behind
but
it.
Here's what I'm telling,
and
Rich,
I'm sitting here playing the devil's advocate. You're not telling me anything.
You're saying that someone in charge
of the post went against voting members' decision and decided
here's
to rinse this out anyway.
Is that for venue for that kind of activity? An American Legion post, I don't care if only three members show up and they all vote to do it. Is that the proper venue?
It is their choice as to whether they want to rent out the building or not. And to who they want to rent out the building to. That, I believe it's the post's choice. You disagree. So basically you're saying that American Legion Post should never open themselves up to any venues of the Alphabet Group, any entertainment, anything to do with. Basically, you're saying that the American Legion and the VFW discriminate against the Alphabet Group.
The actual lady strippers that wanted to do the same thing in there, and they never let them set up and do that.
Can I interject something, please?
Gentlemen, in 1979, there was a movie that you might remember with Al Pacino called Injustice for All. And the judge was corrupt in the movie, and Al Pacino was being escorted out of the courtroom because he basically unveiled the fact that the judge was corrupt. And he kept saying something that has stuck with me all these years. He said, you are supposed to stand for something. I think what James is trying to say, and even if they would have such a thing in the church, we're supposed to stand for something. We can't sell out. I get what you're saying, Rich, about freedom, and you can do what you want with your facility. But when you're supposed to stand for something, you lower the standard. And when I saw that movie, and you could look it up, Injustice for All, Al Pacino was a lawyer, believe it or not, and he was just railing against this judge. And I think James is saying the American Legion, my father was a part, I've been part of the VFW. We are supposed to stand for something. I think it sends a mixed message.
Got it.
Rich, you're correct
about
freedom.
Does the American Legion, is it a religious organization?
No.
No, it's about veterans. It stands for something.
Yes.
It stands for veterans.
It's not
a religious organization.
You're a Christian.
You're a preacher. You have to stand on a moral ground. Huh?
But don't you think it's an ethical organization, though?
I can tell you that their oaths all include an oath and a commitment to God, to country. I can just tell you that. I mean, we pray before every meeting, and there is an ethical standard, and that it is mentioned. That's why we would never rent out an American Legion. I'm telling you right now. If a bunch of hot strippers came in and wanted to do a strip tease and rent out the American Legion building that I'm a member of, no money. They would never have enough money to rent that building because they would not allow them to do it. Why this is occurring, and I believe it is occurring, because and only because because they're either afraid to say no, because they're afraid they're going to get, and I heard people say this, they're afraid they're going to get you know, have protesters and people with signs and, you know, calling them homophobes and everything else. And that's the other thing that I have a real problem with, is that just because I don't agree with your lifestyle doesn't mean you get a right to come down and protest my business or my organization. I think
that was a discussion we had before about another show about tolerance, that tolerance works both ways.
Right.
We've discussed that, right? And the problem is, you know, made that comparison with the early Catholic Church and how, you know, it became accepted, and then the Catholic Church became totally intolerant of the other gods and religions. Okay, and we see the same thing happening with the LGBT group, the alphabet group, is that, okay, you know, at first, you know, all they wanted was acceptance. Okay, yes, you can live that lifestyle. I believe it's a sin. You can live that lifestyle. But now I know where you're coming from. And in that conversation, we're in agreement. You can't force your lifestyle onto me. I can tolerate you, but I don't have to accept what you do as right.
Don't have to celebrate.
But yet, if I am a teacher, a college teacher, I'm going to have to teach you, and I have to show you the respect you expect just as much as I expect you to show me the respect I deserve as your instructor. That's just proper etiquette, okay? But, yes, when it gets to the point where you're offended by things I say, well, that's wrong, because, you know, if your lifestyle offends me, I still have to be tolerant of it. You have to be tolerant of me.
Let me give you another word. There's another word. It's called Romophobic. Anything that looks like Rome or the Catholic Church, people are biased against. And so you're absolutely right. All these names and everything, I don't have to celebrate your lifestyle, but nor do I have to be judgmental and condemning of you. I can treat you with dignity because you're made in the image of God. And I'm a sinner also. But I think what James has taught us tonight is that we've totally obliterated the word sin. You know, I knew some people that were good people, but they said, I don't sin, I make mistakes. No, Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners. We're all sinners and fall short of the glory of God. And so we have to make it clear, and we don't have to condemn, because that's God's business, but we have to live according to the word of God in our own lives.
Exactly. And we've got 2 minutes and 33 seconds left, so Father Michael, would you please lead us in closing prayer, sir?
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, you've heard our words, and we know that we'll give an account for every idle word, for everything we say. I pray, Lord, for the people in the audience, that we have edified them. I thank you for Rich and James and the many good things that they brought out, many insightful things. And Lord, I just pray you'll help us to serve your people, Lord. All these things that we've criticized, even regarding the government, help us, Lord, not to do the same things that we criticize. We pray for our government. We pray for our president. Pray for our Congress, our Supreme Court, the Senate, Lord, our police officers, fire people, Lord, our military, Lord. God, save our country, Lord. Have mercy on our country. We pray in Jesus' name, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Well, folks, we come to the end of a two-hour session, and I think it was a really good one. And, you know, I think we could do a whole series on, traitors, you know what I mean? I think maybe we should actually look at that, because some – and I'm talking about all of them, but I'm fascinated by
Arnold.
Huh?
Start with Benedict Arnold.
Yeah, that's it.
And don't forget Jane Fonda.
And Jane Fonda. I mean, and then Susan Rosenberg. So, Rich, let's all study up on these folks, and let's bring that tomorrow. So, bring this in next Friday. Let's talk about traitors. and those that commit treason against America. And let's look into the lives. What did it? What was the
breaking? Can I talk about Judas? Because I've been studying and teaching my group.
Yes.
The greatest traitor, betrayer is the greatest sin. Dante's Inferno, Cassius, Brutus, and Judas. The lowest part of hell.
That's awesome. Well, we got 10 seconds left, guys. Hey, God bless you all, and have a good weekend, and we'll see you all next Friday. Good night, everybody.
Good night, sir.